Jesus was addressing the church on this side of the veil when he stated in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 4, that we should not be overly concerned about things of today, and more so about tomorrow. Why? Why was Jesus making this point at this time? It's because our earthly concerns will most definitely impact
our spiritual flow. And that's the theme for our consideration this morning, of balancing our spiritual and earthly lives.
Should have received a handout. Please raise your hand, because you need this. You notice on the handout it has a date and a name. I ask you to put your name on the sheet, not to embarrass you, but really, this worksheet is your personal worksheet for this topic. So I want you to put your name on there. Notice that the sheet is divided in half. It's titled, My Earthly Obligations and Distractions, with a couple suggested items as well as a number of blank that fill in as we give you an opportunity here. And then on the right side is a heading, My Spiritual Growth Items, and again, a number of blank lines. And the purpose of this worksheet is to help you think about what are your earthly obligations and distractions that are right. Because we know that time is very precious for the nature's development. And I'm sure that you have had some as to list on both sides of the sheet of what may be distractions. And what I'm going to give you is a minute or two to write down a couple items on each side of the sheet, in each category. And note that this worksheet is not for just this hour. It can become your to do that you can update as you progress through your consecrated life. So I'm going to give you a moment, which is always the terror of a speaker, to give the audience a moment of doing something. But I'm going to give you a moment. Just jot down a couple thoughts, a couple things on the left-hand side, a couple things on the right-hand side, those earthly obligations or distractions that you're struggling, as well as on the right-hand side, of things that you want to just do, but maybe just haven't found the time. Silence can be golden, or can be a terror. Those who are online, hopefully the handout is also provided for you, so you can write on your own notepad some of the same objectives. Leave this in front of you, and as we're discussing the topic, maybe some other items will come to mind. And keep jotting those items down. I am sure I've all thought about, how do I balance my spiritual life and my earthly life? As Christians, we have earthly obligations which cannot be negated. Added to these demands, we desire to enrich our spiritual lives in service, study, and how do we decide which unnecessary, earthly, time-consuming activities to shed in favor of the new creature's development? Now, having listed some of our earthly involvements in spiritual activities and desires, we can rank each column from the must-do to the least required. Then our prioritized list can be used to look at our earthly obligations and cross off the least important item, and then we can look on the spiritual list and circle the number one item. Remember, I asked you to put your name on that paper. I believe your experiences are specifically designed for you. This is your worksheet to develop with the guidance of God of what is needed. For God will permit events for which He knows are needed for our own development and is required, what is uniquely required for each one of us. So each one of these worksheets is an individual worksheet for you. I've always appreciated the study of the tabernacle arrangement, and particularly two goats on the Day of Atonement. They illustrate an important point. Both goats, picturing the called church, present themselves in full consecration. The Lord's goat represents those who exhibit zeal and faith until the sacrifice is complete. We appreciate that picture. The scapegoat, because of fear, holds back of giving its all. Now comes the question, am I demonstrating a scapegoat attitude because I have not taken more time and energy to invest in study and service? Why am I feeling this way? I'm looking at the brethren and asking to myself, why can't I answer questions like Brother A? Or where is my energy to serve all day in the kitchen like Sister B? Are my earthly activities hard to give up, to sacrifice, in order to have more time for the Lord? I must be running like the scapegoat. The purpose here is to not let the adversary dishearten us, but to help establish and attain the proper perspective. We all have earthly obligations and spiritual improvement goals. In general, many of the items listed on your paper may be the same thing that the brother next to you may have. Yet individually, we are in different seasons of our earthly obligations and different seasons of our spiritual goals. It's important to understand that a season may be only a short-term interval and not necessarily a lifetime. For example, there is a season of raising children and another for caring of aged parents. It is what we do and how we spend our time and energy within each season of our consecrated walk that will demonstrate to our Heavenly Father our zeal. While keeping in mind Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, all things as if they are done unto the Lord, then the God of peace will be with us. Trying to rank the two columns of our list, we may be overwhelmed. What do we need to address? What do we need to scratch off of our list? We may seek out the brothers. They appear to have the right approach to balancing their earthly demands with their spiritual growth. Their advice may be very good. Keep in mind that their recommendations are based on their own experiences, their own demands, and their needs. So we need to look at a different point of reference to help us balance our lives. Where? Where do we look? What example is there for us? Well, let's start with our great teacher. He taught and demonstrated how to balance a spiritual life with the sense of living in this world. And he brings out many of these points in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. So what we're going to do is look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're not going to read it. But open it, and let's consider. Point is quiet service. In the first four verses, it's a matter of giving our time, talents, and so forth. He notes, you know, the Pharisees were noted for their prideful displays. They wanted to be revered as spiritual, noble and generous. But consider how Jesus served. He exhibited a quiet attitude, not seeking honor to himself, but for his heavenly Father. Our service should be as in Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting with verse 3, which reads as an example. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Our lesson here is to serve with zeal in our hearts, but quietly, without being asked. God will see our intentions. And spiritually, our life will be enriched. It's the attitude that we approach every opportunity of service. A humble heart. Having consecrated to put to death the old creature, we should do our best to eliminate pride. Yet it can seep in. Returning to our, are any items on the left side considered good, but could bring praises of men? This seemingly benign earthly activity tend to rule your time and age. It would be better for the new creature just to cross it off the list than to slowly be swallowed up by an unwarranted earthly involvement. On the right side, perhaps some opportunity to serve while purposely keeping in mind the goal of a humble heart. Remember during the last night that our Lord met with his disciples, did he ask, well, whose turn is it to wash the feet? He didn't. A spiritual life can be more fulfilling with small, humbling tasks. Prayer life. Jesus covers our prayer life in verses 5 through 14 of Matthew, the 6th chapter. He refers to the hypocrites, like the Pharisees, who prayed aloud on the street and in the synagogues to be seen of men. He also refers to the Gentiles with their long yet empty praises to their gods. Our prayers should be reverent, seeking the Father's will in our spiritual welfare and in our temporal needs. In the quiet of a moment, in the heat of a battle, we should tell the Father of our concerns. He knows of our needs even before we issue a word. But these entreaties to Him strengthen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we would identify how much time is consumed each day by earthly obligations and distractions, we would be simply amazed. Work and travel may take up to 9.5 hours out of a 24-hour day. Sleeping takes another big chunk, 8 hours, unless you sleep less. And some sleep a little bit more, but still, that's a good portion of the day. Then there may be an hour or so for household chores, maybe exercising, yard work, plus there is grocery shopping, meal preparation, and so forth. And there may be the activities associated with school-age children. You may simply ask, what time is this for our prayer life? Said in the morning and the evening before each meal, it's a good start. Yet we are told to be instant in prayer. This opens opportunities throughout the day. Standing in a checkout line, we could pray. Before a challenging meeting, we pray. How about praying to each are the testimonies given at a testimony meeting. We're told that walking is good for our health. But consider this opportunity. While strolling, you can pray and meditate, which is good for your spiritual heart as well as for your body. Also, our prayer life should be a two-way communication. Are we listening to God's answers to our prayers, or are we doing all the talking? We can use some of the quiet moments of each day to reflect upon what have we learned? How is God talking to us to help us balance concerns and our spiritual desires? Fasting. Our lives are filled with periods of fasting, as covered in verses 16 through 18 of Matthew, the sixth chapter. When we enter into a humbling experience, God feels that sting, not the flesh that we're dealing with. It's the flesh that causes the anxiety. It's the flesh that we're battling. Yet our new creature should rejoice, for the Lord may be helping us to refocus our endeavors as to work to remove these earthly distractions. We should learn quickly to search for and appreciate the lesson or chastisement and prove ourselves apt to the school of Christ. While fasting, we can take the oil of gladness to renew our gratitude, knowing that spiritual growth can be inhibited unless we fast occasionally. We are to leave behind those failures, much like Apostle Paul, to allow our spiritual growth to recover from any earth setback. In the quiet of your day, on the left side, list a couple of failures due to the flesh, the world, or even the adversary that impacted you that day. Then on the right hand side, identify ways to overcome them. The left, what we're struggling with, and those things help us overcome those struggles. You know that Rome was not built in a day, and our character will not be totally changed in a day either, will it? Make the task a fast for a season, and you'll find spiritual growth. Lord willing, you can gain ground to overcome a weakness or an earthly distraction. Two masters. Let's consider verses 19 through 24 of Matthew, the sixth chapter. Because of our consecration, we cannot serve two masters. We have our Heavenly Father, the true living God, and we got the God of this world. Our Heavenly Father is a jealous God, and He desires complete obedience of our hearts. On the left side of the worksheet, what items are your heart's desires? Do they serve fleshly interests? Then work to remove them from your list. For the God of this world also seeks our heart. If an item listed that brings honor and glory to God, then enter it on the right-hand side of your list. Remove those things which bring glory and honor to self, and do those things which bring glory and honor to the Father, your light. Do any of your earthly obligations require caring for a parent or raising a child? On the surface, this would take away time from studies and service. But consider this. Service for our Heavenly Father to care for us? No. not a grievous thing for him. Our earthly commitments, which may take away time from our desired spiritual activities, may be viewed as if it's really done unto the Lord, caring for our parents, caring for our aged parents and children, and so forth, all our earthly obligations. The graces being developed in us, in applying these, we are to do good unto the household of faith and to all men. Be a peacemaker. Be an example. Share your light and zeal with the things listed on the right-hand side of your worksheet. And in performing those things which are on the left-hand of your sheet, let your light bring forth honor to the Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 25, there is a test of character, the sheep and the goats in the millennial age. We should take heed to that as well. For we will have the Lord's favor if we exercise sheep-type attitude as we are now walking this narrow way. Worrying. No one worries about tomorrow. I see a lot of smiles. That is a challenge for all of us. In verses 25 to 31 of Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus identifies the common concerns of mankind in general, as well as his new followers. Their age-old question is, and has been, what must I do to feed myself? What are the other demands of my home? How can I store up for tomorrow? The essentials are probably listed on the left-hand side of your worksheet. And they do require time and energy each household provider to fulfill them. Jesus tells his disciples to look at the Gentiles and how they seek the same answers. The uncertainty of caring for their men is the Gentiles' daily needs has consumed a great deal of their time and energy. Those coming out of the world to follow Jesus received their guidance to learn to balance Christians' earthly demands with the desire to be his, neglecting earthly obligations. Let's not example of neglecting earthly obligations while affecting to serve God. Consider Mark chapter 7. Let's turn to that. Mark chapter 7, starting with verse 10. Mark 7, 10 through 13. And Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, it is said, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, it shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things ye do. For Christians to pursue a godly path, but neglect earthly family duties, is like saying, my earthly treasures and obligations are like Corban. Yet in God's eyes, are we really free from our earthly responsibilities? Remember the lessons we have learned while providing for our families and others will be used for the future kingdom. For no opportunity to gain experience for caring for our aged parents or raising our children will be wasted. Earthly obligations will add to your spiritual growth. Apostle Paul further emphasizes this point in 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8, when he said, if he does not provide for his relatives, especially his own family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Gentiles, the unbelievers, may not always provide an honorable means, but they do provide. One who takes the name of Christ and does not provide the family's needs show disrespect, blessings, the privileges, and obligations to provide for their dependents. Their claim that God will provide is a dishonor to the Heavenly Father. Our storehouse. How much should we store up for the future? A little? Or a lot? We have an example of this in Proverbs 6:6. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, old sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Here we have a contrast of one failing to gather while the ant busily collects day after day.
The ant seems to be very industrious in providing for its home. Yet, you consider the ant. It only collects enough food for a season. Likewise, anxiety about our daily needs can take away time needed to expand the many aspects of our spiritual growth. Putting off our spiritual interest to acquire earthly security is no guarantee that we'll have future time to earnestly start our spiritual development. Think about that for a moment. That should be important. It's balancing our lives. And service can be represented by two legs of a stool. And we have used the term three-legged stool many times as a representative of a beautiful picture. But the third leg of this picture I'm painting for you is the nurture. Growth and grace will help balance our spiritual goals. Developing these three aspects simultaneously will better prepare us to withstand any storm. It's like looking at that stool. If the legs are uneven, how stable is it? If we do not study, we do not serve, and we do not work on our character, how stable is that stool? How stable is the new creature? When working toward our balance, also consider our rainy season of our lives. Is it becoming a doubt? Is it a season of raising children? Caring for the elderly? Is it an empty nest? In each season, the balance of our earthly duties will provide those things needful, and our spiritual goals will change. What we need to provide for our earthly things as a young adult and our spiritual growth will change as we mature, as we grow in age, to a point where those things will be of daily need earthly as we get older and more. But we keep in mind that each season, our balance of what we do will change. So always consider and looking on your sheet. What is the season of your life for working out your balance? Finally, on this point, let's consider our Lord's responsibility to his earthly obligation. We read quite often in our memorial preparation of this scripture found in John 19, verses 26 to 27. John 19, 26 to 27. We can almost visualize this scene. When Jesus was on the cross, he saw his mother and his disciple whom he loved by her. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." From that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus consciously fulfilled his earthly duties, even while on the cross. And consider John. He assumed a new earthly obligation. After having provided a variety of examples concerning Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus sums up his lesson with verses 32 to 34, which we read. "For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." Jesus acknowledged that the Gentiles seek these things that you have already listed on your rich worksheet, or at least on the left-hand side. Often these really consume their time and energy, and eventually those things on the left-hand side of their sheet are lost at death. But your Heavenly Father knows of your needs, all of you. All the earthly things needed to complete your sacrifice. So we read, "But seek first his kingdom and righteousness. Seek those things on the right-hand side of your sheep. And all these things, the earthly demands and obligations on the left-hand side of your sheep will be met. So that yours as well. So that you will finish your sacrifice that you have committed, you have consecrated to do." Having this background, let's consider just the remaining time to look with detailed instructions on how to balance our spiritual demands and to meet our obligations of our earthly life. The early church gained skill in balancing earthly and spiritual matters. At the end of the gospel age, they are contended with perplexing problems in establishing this balance, particularly as we have more leisure time, ease of life, and multitudes of earthly distractions. In 6th volume, Brother Russell provided some very good insight that is valuable today. If you have not reviewed Study 12, Marital Obligations, Study 13, Parental Obligations, or Study 14, Sundry Earthly Obligations, I suggest a personal or even a past study on this subject. Many of my thoughts today are the result of our class's recent study on these subjects. How do I live a more spiritual life? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom first, and less of the earthly life, yet meet by earthly responsibilities. When we evaluate all the goals of our spiritual life and the legitimate demands of our earthly life, we know where we stand. To enrich our spiritual lives, the desire to serve, to study, attend studies and conventions of today, our prayer life, to console others and to encourage. Those are spiritual things that we desire. Are we properly distributing our time and energy to add to the new creature's overall development? Among our earthly demands, there are real mortgages, and there are self-inflicted mortgages. We need to take account of all of these. If you find a self-inflicted one, an earthly commitment due to a poor choice, what should you do? Well, place it on the left-hand side of your worksheet. If the task is honorable, complete your duty and then strike it off your list. For the future, carefully consider any future actions to prevent self-inflicted demands. 7. Everyone develops a method that works for them for studying. But each one needs to ask themselves, am I getting the most out of my study? What differentiates progressing students from those who struggle? Establishing a foundation, developing skills, and expanding our abilities. We study to increase our knowledge. Simply reading the Bible along with a volume may give us a perspective of the subject. Truly, there is much more. The next step should be to replace quantity of study to a deeper quality of study. Unlike the early church, we are blessed with many resources. To achieve a better quality of study, you may add to your learning tool bag a good dictionary in Strong's or Young and Gordon. Supplement the reprint articles in various Bible translations. And while reading, ask yourself the six questions. The reported six questions are, who, what, where, when, why, and how. Ask those questions when you're reading. Many of our Christian friends spend their entire Christian life listening to someone explain the Bible. And they're like babies constantly reading up in the Word. But we are told in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman. There's no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. How do we achieve this level of studying? Like the ancient Greeks, we are to examine the scriptures. And Brother Russell encourages top studies to think or comprehend the thought. After reading, meditate on the thought. I emphasize that point. Meditate on that thought. Think about it. What did you read? What was it saying? Ask yourself the six questions when you consider the paragraph and then seek answers to each of those questions. Then, meet with small study groups and share what you learn to validate or correct your understanding. Next, let's consider balancing our earthly demands and spiritual aspirations with the unmarried. If our spouse is a believer, consecrated, or a household of faith, then our walk is much easier. A couple can better utilize their time as part of serving the Lord or serving the temple needs by also discussing the study topic of the day as they go about community tasks. Share what you're talking about, what you're studying. Talk about it, analyze it. As you're driving to convention or leading convention, talk about what you just heard. Be amazed. You'll be amazed what you can recall and what depth. Because one person hears one thing, another hears another. We kind of bring those two thoughts together and it becomes expanded beyond belief. For consecrated individuals, marrying those who have different religious views, opportunities of balancing a spiritual life can become more of a challenge or even more of an opportunity. Remember, Paul said on this matter in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 16, he says, "Wife, how do you know whether you will save your husband? And husband, how do you know whether you save your wife? By setting the proper example in our words and our action, we are showing the working of the Lord in our lives. We are letting our light shine to our spouse. Remember, you are not the same person that your spouse knew before you consecrated. And surely, she will see the change in you. For your parents and grandparents, parental obligations offer endless opportunities. Yet how can we down the need of our children from the infancy to the day that they leave home? Or should I need to grow and embrace the knowledge? Parents are our children's first teachers. Remember, raising a family is but for a season. Our children are a blessing from God. Include them in our activities, sharing with them from our spiritual life studies will give them a sound foundation. Your task now is to review and to update your worksheet. Eliminate what you can on the left-hand side and do what remains unto the Lord on that side. On the right side of your paper, it should be an ever-changing listing as your spiritual development or needs. In conclusion, do not work on your sheet by itself. Constantly seek the Father's direction to what items you should be addressing in this present season. Be not anxious about today or even tomorrow for your earthly needs, but forget not your earthly obligations, for we are to do good unto all mankind, especially the household of faith. Seek each moment, each extra moment, for those heavenly things that support the new creature's growth in grace and knowledge, and serve with a willing heart. By catching little boxes that nip the divine, remove the self-inflicted earthly mortgages. Remember the illustration of the two goats on the Day of Atonement. They surrendered all of their earthly hopes and ambitions for the privilege to be tied to the door of the tabernacle. But the Lord has returned as earthbound from possession, we are to use them as good stewards for His praise. All other earthly burdens should be left behind. Five short study topics. I first gained an overview of the subject and considered the details. The goal is to have quality in study time, not necessarily quantity. Be patient when understanding details is difficult. Even Brother Russell acknowledged that he had to study a subject several times before the matter became clear. His sister in our class has often said, I have studied this volume many times. Each time I find a new gem of truth. Did not say that. If we study with a humble heart, our Heavenly Father will know of our sincerity and bless us with another pearl of truth. Finally, remember the purpose of your walk, the experiences and lessons gained in the school of Christ will be used in the age to come to help the ransomed mankind walk up the highway of holiness. May the Lord bless your efforts as you identify and balance your earthly obligations and your spiritual growth.